Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Well, today we have a returning guest, Dr. Catherine Kelly, and it's kind of apropos. We brought her on today to talk to us a little bit about the impact of sexual assault and how that relates to what's going on currently in the media. We've just had Bill Cosby found guilty of sexual assault, three different counts. He is looking at potentially three different 10-year terms. If maximally imposed, he's looking at 30 years. That is outstanding for survivors of sexual assault. I think the fact that somebody of that stature was able to be, you know, called on the floor, so to speak, and brought in front of the public eye, and then to win in a courtroom, I think that's the win with this. So, with that being said, I'd like to reintroduce Catherine Kelly. Catherine, Dr. Kelly, welcome to our show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here, and this is a very important topic.
I think so. So you have a book out, The Soul Health, Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living.
Yes.
Before we get through today, make sure we talk a little bit about that. But you talk about the aftermath, you know, what happens to individuals. And I see it in my practice, but most people don't talk about this out in public. So that's why we're here. So share us some of the key things you want us to know.
Well, I want to throw out three things that are so, like you said, apropos to what's happening in the news as of yesterday and last night is, you know, from a healing perspective, you know, the sexual part of our lives hit us, what I call the soul of who we are. So any kind of victimization is going to just create a brokenness or a fracture in us deep within. And what this has done for us as of yesterday, which is monumental and beautiful in many ways, because it has vindicated basically those who have been victimized. It's given hope to others who haven't yet stepped forward or haven't felt like they can. And also, thirdly, it's really opened, and this is, to me, the most important part of this, it's opened the path to healing in a much bigger and different way that victims, and I'm going to say both male and female, have never been able to really experience before. So at a very deep level, this is such an important and monumental step toward healing and moving beyond this deep fracture that people experience.
And I think that you're exactly right. Now, I know I have worked with some obese patients over the years, and just about every one of them to a T at some point in my interacting with them talked about some sort of unwanted sexual advances, sexual assaults, sometimes from parents or parental figures. And, you know, when that happens at a young age, it's very easy to see from a psychological standpoint how they evolved into, I mean, I'm thinking of one person right now. When she came to see me, she was tipping the scales around 670 pounds, something like that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And, you know, everybody's like, you know, I can't understand who would let themselves go like that. And, you know, when I heard her story, essentially it was like, if I make myself really disgusting, he won't be doing this to me anymore. And it started as a little child, and it just continued as an adult from there on out.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to liken this actually to the hoarding population because, you know, the research is very clear that people who hoard objects, things outside of themselves, are that they have experienced a deep sense of loss. And, you know, extreme obesity or overweight actually is another form of hoarding, and that they have lost something very deep and very precious to themselves
right.
at a very young age. And just as you said, that what they start doing is they start collecting weight because it is much safer. They feel like they're, in their way, they are trying to heal and protect something that is deeply broken. And from a health aspect, you know, there are so many different health symptoms and actual diagnoses that can be directly related back to some sort of sexual abuse or sexual assault earlier in life.
Yes.
So this is really just, you know, and I know from a positive, I try to stay positive, from a positive perspective, this is bringing forth a lot of pain and a lot of difficulty, but it is also giving a great opportunity to start the healing.
And it's something that needs to be addressed. I know a lot of people just want to forget about it and get on with their life. But unfortunately, it increases the rates of miscarriage. It increases the rates of heart attack and, you know, substance abuse, as well as more of our normal, more mundane mental health issues like depression and anxiety that
Absolutely.
Are serious. People tend to think of it like, oh, it's the common cold. Oh, I've got depression. I'll be over it in a few months. It'll be fine. But there are some serious side effects to that. And we need to pay more attention to this. What are some suggestions you have to individuals who are maybe in their mid-30s who are thinking about, man, that's why I've got this, I need help. How do you suggest they go about doing something like that?
Absolutely. First and foremost, I do think it's important for them to go to a qualified mental health professional that can really help them break through some of these fractures and barriers. And, you know, the thing is, and I think it's important for people to go to their healthcare providers, except for the fact that you literally, from a research perspective, you spend less than 5 to 7 minutes in a physical office with someone that is a healthcare provider. So you're not going to get
Correct.
What you need out of just going to the physician. You've got to go to someone who can really help you work through in the many different ways that assault or harassment or abuse has really affected your life. And really, and I'm going to bring my soul health model into this, that's one of the reasons why I created my soul health model, which has 10 different branches of the human condition that we all have to balance. And frankly, abuse, harassment, assault affect each and every one of those branches. And if we don't realize how it affects our physical branch, our emotional branch, our sexual branch, our environmental branch, social branch, all of those, we're really not going to get to the bottom of the wound. And that is really the most important part of this, is helping people see that even if they are 30 years old, like you mentioned, that's 30 years worth of living in a way that feels fractured, that they need to repair, and they need to get to that point where they can feel whole again, which is the main point, really.
Exactly. And I think it's a good thing that there are people writing about this, you know, because a lot of people are afraid to come and see a therapist. You know, they've heard all these mystical, scary things that go on from lay people who've never been to a therapist themselves, and it's voodoo. They go in there, they're going to brainwash you, they're going to whatever. So I'm glad you've written your book. I really think that it's a good avenue for people to go on. It's safe. You can pick it up at your own time, your own leisure, with nobody's around. And I think that's half the battle, is just realizing what's going on and that you need to get some help. So thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Huber, that lends itself right there to another comment about, you know, people who have been assaulted or abused or harassed, they've been made to feel like they aren't worth much. And that is why I really do think that, you know, going to a therapist is the best investment you can make in your entire life, because it helps you see not only your worth, but it helps provide the path to wholeness again. And that's what most people are struggling with in one way or another.
Definitely. And, you know, mental health professionals, they're human beings too. And, you know, that's one of the things I get asked all the time in the last 24 hours with Bill Cosby, people talking about how, you know, America's father from the 80s and and the code of moral conduct that was taught to us by Fat Albert in the late 60s, early 70s, and all of a sudden,
right.
You know, wait a minute, he's not that way, so maybe I shouldn't be following this and trying to emulate the things he taught us. And I have to stop and remind people that, you know, he's a comedian and he plays an act. It's up on stage. He's a different person. When he's in real life,
right.
He's a human being, and he has all the potential foibles that any human being has. You know, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us. And, you know,
right.
we look at some of our star athletes and, you know, they get busted, you know, with drugs or whatever else, you know, and we just kind of let him and or her and his or their families deal with all of that until they back on the field, and then we're cheering for them to win the game, and we are able to separate those two. But when it comes to actors, whether it's, you know, Tom Cruise, we've seen him play these roles and everybody goes, you know, they meet him for the first time and they think he's that guy from, you know, Mission Impossible, and it's like, no,
right.
You know, that's a role he plays, he's a different person,
right.
And unless you know him privately, you don't know who he is, but we feel like we do. We've been watching them forever. And I think that's part of the grief and loss that America is feeling right now. We're going through that angry stage. Why did he do this to us? You know, it's like, wait a minute. The lessons he taught are important.
Yeah. And you know, Dr. Huber, you brought up a really good point here, is that he probably even believed that's who he was. And
yes.
So that's how he continued to do what he was doing in his private life, is that he had this persona that basically he would be able to, you know, uphold that public image, and yet the public image was not the real image. So it is a struggle. And, you know, the first thing I tell clients is that, you know, the psychologist, I am not exempt from the human condition. I still struggle with some of those things myself. And we all have to be real in the middle of, you know, any kind of crisis, but, you know, we are all humans. We have these different aspects of life that we need to balance out at any given time, and we've all got an uphill climb sometimes.
And it is, you know, it is an uphill climb. You know, every day we face struggles, and so do our clients, so do our movie stars, so do our radio hosts. We all have our, you know, our real life issues to deal with, but we jump into roles. We play the psychologist. Yes,
right.
We got the training for it, so why not do it? Okay, well, doctors, I work at a couple of hospitals. Those doctors, they walk into their patient's room and they're the doctor, and here's the thing they do, and they follow, check your heart rate and look at your blood
right.
work, and they give you
right.
the stuff, and then they walk out, and then they come around the corner and I'm in there dictating, and they're going, hey, I think my wife's leaving me, and all of a sudden they're crying, you know, with the door
right.
shut.
Yes.
And it's like they've got the same problems we do.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's the biggest challenge, like you said, is that we have these personas of who people are in the media and or in our government or, you know, any corporation, whatever our perceived leader is. And we really don't know them. We don't know the struggles. And in fact, we don't know the person on the bus next to us or the subway next to us or the,
that's right.
you know, in the grocery store line next to us. And so it bursts that bubble. There is a ton of grieving in lots of ways that is happening. And I think, we also want to look to the positive. We don't want to look at all the brokenness. So that's why oftentimes we overlook some of the toughest stuff. And I always say to clients and friends and everything else, the toughest thing we ever have to do in our lives is turn that mirror and look at ourselves. And some of us are, you know, willing to do that and some aren't. But it, you know, this particular topic, I think, is really, it's such a key part of where, and I use the word evolution a lot, it's the evolution in breaking down some of the stuff that was not going to really help us heal in the future. So it's
right.
such an important
right.
thing. And I think this is, you know, we're going to have ripple effects in lots of different ways. I just think, as they've been saying all over the news last night, you know, this is going to be a top example from this point forward, and that this is no longer tolerable. So it's a beautiful thing.
And I think with the Cosby issue, in a strange way, I think this is a precursor to the Harvey Weinstein issue, which is in a lot of ways much bigger. But people don't necessarily know Harvey like they feel like they knew Bill Cosby. But the reality of it is the numbers, the sheer numbers of people that have been involved with the Harvey Weinstein issue is staggering. And he is, I mean, he makes Bill Cosby look like a pauper. You know, I mean, he's made some money. So they think Bill Cosby can put up a defense. Harvey Weinstein can. And I think this is kind of like a trial run before we actually go after one of the top offenders in that industry. So I think a lot of good's coming out of this, whether Bill Cosby ends up spending a day behind bars or not. You know, that's a whole nother topic, that the issue of the aged in jail being incarcerated, the socio-political factors involved with anybody at that age going in, let alone somebody famous like that. My guess is he'll get some sort of horrendous probation type thing so that he has access to medical care that he wouldn't have in prison. So if he doesn't die on somebody's watch while he's incarcerated, because that would, you know, ruin somebody's political or professional career and yada, yada, yada. But the real win was the fact. Yeah. And the real win is that he lost in court. And I think that's empowering to every American who's ever been assaulted sexually or otherwise, especially by people in power.
Right. And you know, I'm 50-50 on whether or not he will actually be put in jail, because I just had a client about 6 months ago who she was 9 years old. Her brother-in-law had abused her and found out later that, you know, many other, you know, he abused his granddaughters, lots of other things came forward. And he is now in jail. He's 82 years old, and they put him in jail last year. So it is interesting, and I'm 50-50, because I think it all depends on the particular court system. But I think, you know, examples are becoming bigger examples now, so it could very well be that something happens. Nobody ever thought Martha Stewart would go away for, you know, the time that she did. So who knows what's actually going to happen. And
yeah, but if you or I did that while Martha Stewart, we'd gone, we still would be incarcerated.
Right. Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. But this may just be the example that
right.
sets the stage for lots of people. And, you know, I also want to throw this in, and I know a lot of people would probably have a difficult time with me having some compassion for the people who victimize. The only reason I'm having having compassion toward Bill Cosby is that he's obviously a broken man himself if he's capable of doing that.
Oh, yes.
And so
yeah, there's something
that's
in his past that we don't know about, I'm sure.
Right. And unfortunately, the way the system was set up is that years of being able to do what he was due with absolutely no recourse or reprimand builds that brokenness, builds that narcissism, builds
yes.
that thought that,
yes.
oh, I can keep doing this. And so there's something
yes.
very broken within him, too. And unfortunately,
yeah.
jail or no jail, he's not going to get to the bottom of that. So it's a big problem on both sides.
It is. And, you know, I had an actually 82-year-old person that I was involved with in a forensic sense, just, and he got time too, and he's already incarcerated at this point. But he was also in very good health. And we look at Cosby and, you know, frankly, some people were surprised he survived the trial. You know, because he's got
yep.
so many medical things going on with him. So I think that compounds that issue of, quote unquote, punishment at this point. Because the other side of it is he can spend every penny he's got and fight this and, you know, appeal after appeal after appeal and possibly, you know, stay out of a prison, you know, the rest of his life before he finally expires. And, you know, he's got the money. I mean, he's not going to take it with him when he dies. I don't begrudge him doing that.
Right.
But it's just another way to continue to break him, and he may not see it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting angle with that, too, because the fact that, you know, my whole focus is what I call soul health, that it goes beyond the head,
yeah.
It goes beyond the heart, it goes to that very deep part of us. And I think that's how most people are broken these days, is that there's something deep, deep, deep within that, you know, in some cases, certain things won't heal. And I agree with you. I don't think this one, I don't think he's really, he might get some glimmers of what he's done that is wrong, but I really think he's got
right.
some super, super deep soul healing and soul searching to do in order to get an awareness of the impact he's really made.
And we can probably say that about a lot of comedians, that there's some underlying thing and they've turned it to their advantage, you know, as an entertainer. But, I mean, Robin Williams is a perfect example. But let me talk a little bit more. Tell my listeners where we can get a copy of Soul Health and where they can get a hold of you and your contact information and the like. Where can
Absolutely.
My listeners get you?
So this is great timing, actually. I have a second edition of the book coming out in the next 2 weeks. And if you're going to buy it, I would wait to buy that one because I've added a whole new element to it that I think even deepens the idea of soul health, to understand that we have to really learn this whole concept of self-love in order to really take care of ourselves in the way that, you know, that we say that we want to in all the, you know, how-to books. But really, until we understand that concept of healing ourselves through really loving ourselves. And I know that sounds very Hallmarky, but it's that whole idea that we've got to get to that point where we really do. I call it soul-based living, that we really get to that point. So my website is www.drkatherinetkelly.com. There is a T in between for Teresa because there's an orthodontist up in Minnesota that has my name. And so www.drkatherinetkelly.com. And if you would like to be on my newsletter list, go to that website, sign up, and then you will get the up-to-date information for when the new edition is released. Like I said, it should be within a week or two for sure, and we will go from there. But it's you know, to me, soul health is the way we're going, that we've got to go a little bit deeper or much deeper in order to get to true healing.
Okay, well, I want to, for our listeners, I want them to know, because some people listen to this on recorded, you know, months out, that this is actually April 27, 2018.
So
you can pick that up probably mid-May of 2018, if not a little bit before
right.
then. So that's it. Now, do you
Perfect.
Do public speaking at all or any of
I
that
do,
type
and-
of consulting?
I do. I do a ton of speaking around the country, in fact, teaching healthcare providers, which is really fun. And I do some corporate work teaching leadership with the whole idea of leadership in terms of balancing out your life through soul health. I am in New York City right now, as a matter of fact, working with some media to get some documentaries out there and get some other things about bringing kind of that soul-based idea of us back, because we've really lost that. So. And I also do workshops, retreats. I'm about to launch some webinars, so people from your side of the country at this point can get a hold of some of that information, too. So all of that information, again, will be available on a regular basis, or you can also go to my social media pages and get up-to-date information as well. Best way to do that is go to my website and click the social media from there, and then, you know, like the pages or follow from there, because then I don't have to give you a litany of different social media addresses.
Well, awesome, Catherine. That is amazing. I'm so excited to have you on today. But that does conclude our show today, and I'd like to remind everybody that they're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. I'd like to thank Dr. Catherine Kelly, and check out her book, Soul Health, and listen to us on Mainstream Mental Health Radio, the Mental Health Radio Network. And last but not least, remember, life is what happens while you're making plans. So buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+, Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram @ Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter @ Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.